Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with this message of inspiration and hope that has come to us in our time through the intercession of the Mother of God. In the Gospel, Jesus tells his followers, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth do I give unto you." John 14:27. Peace can be defined as a cleanness of conscience, where we're not set on anything in this life, but are content to possess only God and whatever he might want to give us. The idea is that we be liberated from all things so that we can joyfully despise all and not be detained by useless worries and cares. The world will propose its own definition of peace and will assess the value of a doctrine by asking whether or not it brings us a sense of happiness and fulfillment in this life. But shouldn't they rather be asking whether or not it pleases God, if it's right, if it's just, if it's good for our souls? Since when is the way of God supposed to cater to our personal likes and pleasures? The idea is that we deny our life in this world and start working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's the only thing we should worry about, if you want to use that word. And this is the basic plan for salvation that the Holy Roman Catholic Church has taught for 2,000 years. But because of the influence of modernism, the Church in our time has yielded to the currents of change and secular thought so that it no longer encourages the idea of fighting on as militant Christian soldiers. Today's clergy have rather adopted the idea of giving up and giving in so that they can feel a sense of belonging to the world. Satan entered the Church in our time and has been able to convince the world's Catholics that their obligations to Almighty God have been dispensed. This is the basic thinking that has come to us through the Second Vatican Council, because Satan entered the Church through the Council, as evidenced by the words of Pope Paul VI when he stated, "From some fissure, the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God." Satan's trick is to suggest that by getting away from the rules and disciplines of religion, we have finally arrived at peace. And indeed, many today have been taken with this deception, where they feel they can offend God and engage in all sorts of forbidden pleasure without having to worry about it anymore. This worry-free attitude is what they call peace. But is this not what Lucifer did to Eve in the garden when he deceived her and said, "Oh no, God won't punish you. You can eat the apple, it's okay." You see, it's happening all over again. Lucifer has come among us today as an angel of light, speaking words of unity and peace, and today's hierarchy are listening to him because they are not listening to their counselors from God. Pope Pius XII, Pius X, Pius IX, Leo XIII, St. Peter and Paul, and many others who had warned that these days of heresy and modernism were to come upon the Church. And this indeed has been the great tragedy of our time, that our Church leaders have lost confidence in what Christ left us through sacred apostolic tradition, so that they feel now that they have to turn to the invention of their own hands and experiment. The Church, since Vatican II, has been laboring all night in the dark without taking anything because they haven't learned to take the Master at his word and let down their nets the traditional way. Through the ungodly influence of the Council, they somehow feel they have to apologize for the Catholic Church and make their peace with the world instead, when in fact they should be doing the exact opposite. They have to apologize for their betrayal of the faith and their worldly alliances and make their peace with God once again, if they ever expect to be saved. That's the only true peace. As Jesus told his followers, quote, "Do not think that I came to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I came to set man at odds with his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be they of his own household." Matthew 10. So in other words, if we make our peace with God, then it's going to set us at odds with the world. If we make our peace with the world, then it's going to set us at odds with Almighty God, as evidenced by the words of Holy Scripture, where it says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world becometh an enemy of God." James 4:4. Again, the evangelist John says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." John 2:15. So we have to make up our mind who we're going to make our peace with. It's either going to be God or the world. But one thing's for certain, it cannot be both. It's like a wife who marries a husband, but she still has a lover down the street. Now, she has to make up her mind which one she's going to be with. If she chooses her husband, then it's going to kill her relation with her lover. But if she chooses to run around with her lover, then it's going to kill her relation with her husband, just as the Church leaders today are killing their relation with God by making their alliances with the world. And the way that they do this is by allowing the world to come in and run their church. They now allow women on the altar. They let lay people give the sacraments. They clap, they sing, they play guitars, they preach worldly doctrines. So we have to cleanse the altar of God, just like in the Old Testament. They went in there and cleansed the sanctuary and threw down the pagan altars and idols and all the works of man's hands and set up the true altar once again. And that's exactly what we have to do today if we want to be God's friends. We have to cleanse the church of all the present abominations. We have to throw out the guitars and all the socializing and merrymaking. We have to pull down their pagan banners. We have to burn their pagan books and set up the true altar once again with the Latin Tridentine Mass. When this is done, then the church will be reconciled once again with God. But right now there are problems, serious problems. As Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. We now have things like sex abuse in the church. But what do we expect? If we adulterate the ceremonies and teachings of God, then we're going to get adulterated spirituality. It backfires on us. And the good Lord is allowing this for our instruction, as if to say, look, my children, what you've done to yourselves. You've despised my ordinances. You think you know more than me, so look what you've got yourself into. So we have a real mess on our hands today, and it's not going to be in the decision of mere man to solve the problem, but it's going to take Almighty God Himself to step in and correct the situation, and that's exactly what has happened in our time. Jesus and His Holy Mother have come to us today with a very urgent and pleading message, and have asked that we restore the church back to tradition. I quote the message of Our Lady given to the world on August 4th, 1979, there is no excuse accepted now by the Eternal Father among the clergy, who now offend the Eternal Father by misleading the children of God upon earth. The experimentation and changes must be stopped and reversed. There is no other course. I say unto the clergy, my sons priests and clergy of the world, you have been blinded because of pride and arrogance. Your minds are confused with worldliness, humanism, and modernism. Pray on your knees. Take your heads out of the fog while there is time, for your time is running out. And our Lord follows up with a similar message where He says, my Father's house, His church, is a house of prayer, meditation, and honor to man's God. Therefore, I object as your God to the manner in which you are seeking to change the plan from heaven and making my house a meeting place, even including, in your quest for conversion, heretics, schismatics, and Satanists. Clergy and children of earth, I warn you as your God that you will not make any conversions that will stand the test of time by compromising the laws, the rules, and the plan of heaven given to you throughout the ages of earth's time. And that was from the message of Jesus and Mary that was given to the world on August 4th, 1979. This message from heaven has come to us through the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. From the years 1970 through 1995, the Blessed Virgin and her son would appear to Veronica during the Rosary Vigils of Bayside, which is in New York, and would deliver to her these messages and warnings about what is to come soon upon the world if we don't act now to restore the church back to tradition. And when we say tradition, we don't mean traditions of man or cultural customs, but we mean the holy doctrines and traditions of God as passed down through the ages by the vicars of Christ, the popes. This is what we call apostolic tradition. Now the very source of this tradition is the crucifixion of Christ. Any grace or truth from heaven that comes into the world has come to us through the Passion. If the clergy of our time are spiritually blind, it's because they don't have this beacon of light before their eyes. In many churches today, they've taken down the crucifix from the main altar because, as Our Lady says, they want to start a new church. This is what they call their so-called renewal since the Vatican II Council. But on February 1, 1978, Jesus said, a renewal? And what are you renewing? What is your renewal? What are you renewing? Have you found fault with my way? Shall you create a new way of man? I say unto you, you blaspheme. You have cast yourself out of the light into the darkness, O pastors. A true renewal will be when the Latin Tridentine Mass is returned to the church and the new Mass is thrown out. When this is done, then we will see a decline of homosexuality, sex abuse, and divorce. We will see people returning to the church again with families back together, because the spigot of divine grace will be turned back on to put out the fire of sin that is presently consuming our Holy Catholic Church. But right now we got a problem. There are even programs today set up in the church that show sympathy for abortion, one of these being Operation Rachel. This program is most wicked because it sympathizes with the aborters, not the aborted ones. Under the pretext of having compassion for the mother, they actually go about pacifying women who have had abortions or who are about to have abortions. It's based on Rachel in the Bible who died giving birth to Jacob. It mourns for Rachel, as if to say, if Rachel had an abortion, this wouldn't have happened to her. Our Lady in the Message has even said that there have been nuns in the convents that have had abortions performed on them. And these programs in the church are encouraging this kind of behavior, not only among the religious, but among the lay people too. According to the message from heaven, abortion is the number one factor that is bringing the hand of God upon our country. On April 14, 1984, Our Lady, in speaking of abortion, said, quote, "For that one reason among many, the United States will suffer unless there is placed in your government a group that will fear the Lord if they cannot love the Lord. They will fear Him and find measures to stop the slaughter of the unborn. You are taking these babies, these children, from the world before their mission has been performed. Each and every unborn child has been sent upon the earth with a mission to fight Satan." Unquote. So what Our Lady is saying is that these children, these souls, never even had a fighting chance to prove themselves because we, through our corrupt legislation, have turned Satan loose on them. As Our Lady said in this same message, I quote, "Satan now rules your government and the world." You are listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and we're discussing today the crisis of faith in the church that has prompted Jesus and Mary to come forth today with their message. The bishops of our time have now set themselves up as a censoring committee to approve or disapprove the Holy Father's directives. There are contradictions on every side. If he says A, they say B. If he says up, they say down. If he goes right, they go left. Just for example, back in June 2000, the Holy Father, in conjunction with Sister Lucy, was proposing to release the long-awaited third secret of Fatima, but the Vatican bureaucracy stepped in and blocked it. The secret consisted in a one-page letter signed by Sister Lucy, which contained the actual text of Our Lady's words. Apparently, there was also a vision that Sister Lucy had received in conjunction with the secret. Often, Our Lady in her messages will give a vision of some event to come, and then she herself will come forward and explain the vision in a few words. And this is what we had here. The Vatican released Lucy's vision, but they buried Our Lady's explanation and supplied their own with a long, tedious document aimed at discrediting the secret and putting it to silence once and forever. So, in other words, the Pope proposes and the body of bishops disposes. And that, in fact, was the secret, as Our Lady has now explained at Bayside, that Satan would capture and possess these high-ranking cardinals and would peg them against our Holy Father. It's almost like a chessboard. The Episcopal Black Knights are holding the Holy Father in check, so it's very hard today for the Pope to make a move because most of his pawns have been knocked off. He only has a handful of loyal cardinals that work with him now in Rome, and of course he does have the Queen on his side. So we pray that he gets behind her and that he listens to her and that he finally release the secret that she gave to Sister Lucy at Fatima back in 1917. You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you the urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world, as given through the seer Veronica of the Cross. We are going to listen to a recorded segment of Our Lady delivering the message to Veronica on the eve of Christmas, 1975. Again, these visitations would take place during rosary vigils at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York. During the vigils, Veronica would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see the Blessed Virgin and her son. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her. All is recorded on tape. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Virgin Mary speaking through her.
My children, I come to you on the eve of this day that you have given to my son and the joyful occasion of his coming to your earth. He came. I lived in poverty of worldly goods, but graced with much light of spirit. My children, recognize and separate from your lives that which destroys your soul and that which strengthens your soul. You must not succumb to the web being spun by Satan. There is, my children, a conspiracy of great evil now throughout your world.
Hail Mary.
There are clusters, groups of evildoers, even in the houses of my son, the churches. When my son's church and the world become as one, know that the end is at hand. The gates of hell, the prince of darkness, the evil accelerates by his command, because he knows that his time is growing short. Hasten, my children, to send out the message with great speed. The warning approaches. My child, the warning is not the chastisement, but the beginning, my child, of the sorrow of sorrows. You must not speculate on dates. I have often told you why, my child, to avoid speculation of dates. The good books, your true revelations in your Bibles, must be kept and preserved. The forces of the Antichrist seeks to remove all true knowledge from among you. Know, my children, that these forces of the Antichrist do their work by capturing the spirit, the bodies of men, women, and children. Round the eternal city, what manner of fate do you give yourself? Humility, my pastors, holiness and piety, tradition. What are you building among yourselves but a church of man, eliminating my son in the light? Bishops, awaken from your slumber. I repeat, my children, my bishops, shall you be obedient to sin? Shall you unite and destroy your faith? My son gave you your faith. He gave you the course, a simple plan to follow. He gave you your first leaders. They wrote down the plan from heaven into your Bible. Every man seeks novelty, interpreting for his own satisfaction. All manner of delusion and complications. Oh, my children, what words can I give to you in addition to bring you out of your slumber? As in the time of Noah, you close your ears. Sodom and Gomorrah, you close your ears and your hearts. Only a few shall be saved. Many are called, but few are chosen. The road to the eternal kingdom of the Father is a narrow one, my children. Once you leave, it is most difficult to return. Keep your armor upon you, my children. Do not listen to the scoffers who seek to remove your armor from you. Your sacramentals have been given for a reason. You will need them, my children. Without them, you will leave the road to heaven. You must have the bread of life within you, my have comfort you in the days ahead. Reject him, and you shall be rejected by the eternal Father. For none shall come to the kingdom of heaven but through my Son and his leadership.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from Our Lady on the eve of Christmas, 1975. Just as it was in the manger, so it is today that she invites the wise men and all men of goodwill to behold the gift of grace that she has to present for us. Our Lady's purpose is to bring all mankind to the feet of her Son. She invites us, as it were, to a marriage feast of her Son, because after all, the Church is the spouse of Christ. Our baptism calls us to have that espousal or union with him, and Our Lady calls us to that unity and to remain on the narrow road. But as she says in the foregoing segment, many are called, but few are chosen, the reason being that they value too much their life in this world, especially their goods and their acquaintances. And the Gospel brings this point home beautifully. This is Matthew 22, Jesus speaking to the people of his day, where he says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son, and he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. And again he sent other servants, saying, Tell them that were invited, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come ye to the marriage. But they neglected and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contemptuously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry, and sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, The marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye into the highways, therefore, and as many as you shall find, call them to the marriage. And his servants, going forth into the ways, gathered together all that they could find, both bad and good, and the marriage was filled with guests." And we're reading here from Matthew 22. And so, too, Our Lady commissions us to go out into the highways and bring in as many guests as we can, good and bad. This invitation is extended to all peoples, regardless of race, color, or creed, especially sinners. After all, when we say the Hail Mary, we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. We don't say, pray for us saints. However, there is a condition for sinners to come into the kingdom and abide with the king, and that is that they have to have on their garment of grace. They can't just come as they are. They have to put off the garment of sin and their bad habits and put on charity, justice, and truth. Otherwise, they cannot abide with Christ at his wedding feast. And the Gospel proves this beyond a shadow of a doubt, where we were reading before. If you recall, the wedding feast was filled with guests, both good and bad, but then, it goes on to say, I quote, "And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw that there was a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, Friend, how did you come in not having a wedding garment? But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, Bind his hands and his feet, and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So you see, this guy didn't have on his wedding garment. He insisted on coming as he was, and for this, he got kicked out of the kingdom. So that we understand, our wedding garment is our garment of grace. The Bible refers to this as the fine linen or justifications of the saints. In other words, to be saved, you got to put off the world and put on Christ, the grace of Christ, which comes through the sacraments of the Church, and also the sacramentals, the rosary, and the scapular. Because if we die out of grace, and we don't have that covering of grace, it is one and the same as if we were naked. We'll stand bare before the eyes of God, full of shame and disgrace, as he looks through us and says, Why did you resist those graces that were offered to you so freely in life? My mother came to you with her message. Why did you despise it? If you write or call, we'll send you the message from heaven, along with a rose petal blessed by Jesus on the sacred grounds that has attached to it the power of cure and conversion, and you'll see what these items of grace can do for you. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And when you write, you might inquire about our leaflet on the coming warning. That's Heaven Speaks Today, issue number 17 on the coming warning. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org.